verses 24 to 26. In honor of the Word of God, let's stand together for the reading of His holy Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and beginning in verse 24. As I read in the New American Standard, you follow along in your Bible, your translation, as I read aloud this morning. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading and the proclamation. May we go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings. Tim Turner, will you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, to come to your house, Lord. Hear your word preached, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you are able to move freely through this congregation, Lord. And Lord, that you have your will and your way in this great nation. Brother Brian, as he preaches, Lord, just use him as a vessel. And all these things we thank you for.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the Word today, we have a little bit of a snippet into the life of King Hezekiah of Jerusalem. Hezekiah was one of the better kings, one of the, we call them good kings, because so many times the kings fell away from the Word of God. They fell away from God's leadership, God's guidance, and they did exactly the opposite of what God had commanded. But not so with Hezekiah. Hezekiah did a lot of good things in his rule and his reign, which was around 727 to 698 B.C. So there, 30-plus years, he was king of Jerusalem. And he was noted for doing some really great things. And one of the things that he did, if you read earlier in this passage, is you find out that he overcame the king of Assyria. And so when Sennacherib came up against him, Sennacherib was overtaken, and he lost the opportunity to take over, to seize Jerusalem. And so in his shame, he goes back to Assyria. He goes back to his home. And there we find out that he is killed by one of his children as he goes back there. So he goes back with a lot of shame. He goes back, and then his life is ended. But not so with Hezekiah. The Bible tells us, because of this great victory, that everybody is singing the praises of Jerusalem. And everybody is bringing gifts to the Lord. And everybody is bringing gifts to the king, Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. He had a lot in his storehouse. But we also find that when he began to acquire so much, not only wealth, but praise from the people, his head got to be a little haughty. He started thinking a little better of himself, maybe than he ought to think. And the Bible calls this the sin of pride. James chapter 4 in verse 6 quotes Psalm 138 in verse 6. And we read in James, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We ought to all underline that in our Bible, should we not? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now you say, well, this is a very small, insignificant couple of verses in the Bible. Why, preacher, are you preaching on these verses? Well, number one, because it is the Word of God. And in anything in this Word, I have authority to preach on. Amen? And if I'm not preaching the Word, shame on me. But I want you to notice something. When the Bible repeats itself, I believe that ought to just underscore the significance of that teaching. And the Bible does, in fact, repeat this story in 2 Kings. If you want to jot this down and go back and look later, 2 Kings chapter 20, it repeats this same story. Isaiah, it repeats this story. Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah was integral in this story, in this account in 2 Chronicles. So go back and look at those things. And what is the underlying theme? Hezekiah, though he was a good man, was taken over by pride. And you and I can easily be taken over by pride if we're not very careful. Matter of fact, it'll be on our radar every single day. I'll give you an interesting story. A lady came to her pastor one time and said, "Pastor," she said, "I've got a real problem I want to talk to you about." She said, "I've got a sin that I just can't seem to overcome." And she said, "This sin is just consuming my thoughts." And the pastor was kind of getting worried and concerned for the dear sister. And finally she spilt the beans. She said, "Pastor, this is what I'm worried about. This is my sin. I have the sin of pride." She said, "Pastor, every time I come to church, I look around the room and I look at all the other women in the sanctuary, and I looked at them and I think how blessed I am to be so much prettier than you are. How blessed I am to just shine and to be gorgeous, but I'm the most beautiful woman in the room." And the pastor looked at the dear sister and he said, "Honey, that's not a sin, that's a mistake." And that's exactly what pride is. A horrible thing, isn't it? Pride is thinking that we're better than anybody else. Pride is looking down on others with disdain, thinking that nobody else has it together like we do. Nobody looks as good as we do. Nobody handles situations as good as we handle situations. Pride says what you know isn't near as important as what I know, for I know what is best. And what does the Bible say about pride? You know it. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling, the Bible tells us. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23 says, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. So how we serve in the church is being like Jesus, the Bible says, who humbled himself to be obedient to even death on the cross. We are humble servants to the Lord. We are not superior to other people. Many times we are prideful when someone comes to us to maybe point out something we can work on, an area that we could improve on. And a very, very good test to see if our heart is prideful is when that person comes to us, whether it be a family member or a good close friend, when they come to us and they share something with us, if we blow up about it, if we say, "That's not right, that's not really how I am," chances are that it's because we're full of pride. We think more of ourselves than the understanding that someone else has. The Bible says we need one another, amen? And listen, we need one another. We need the church. Y'all aren't amening today. Amen. This is a tough subject, I know. But we need one another, don't we? And brothers and sisters, the understanding in our culture today that has developed over many years that I am my own person and I can do all things and I don't need anybody else, that very attitude is why today across America so many churches are empty. For we cannot know God unless we come humbly before Him saying, "God, I am lost without You." And we cannot be an integral part of the church unless we come before the church and say, I cannot accomplish anything for the gospel. I cannot accomplish anything for the kingdom unless I am involved in the local church. Now, brothers and sisters, that's not Brian Christ, that's scriptures. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of the believers. And we're off out here doing our own thing and thinking we got it all together. It's not the church's fault, it's our fault. Because we're full of pride. And we think that we know better than anybody else. So sometimes it's a test when we come to someone, when someone comes to us and tells us something and we blow up. That's a sure sign that we're pride. And we must confess it like Hezekiah did. And repent, say, God, help me be humble before you and before my fellow man. Sometimes we can go to other people and we can talk to them, right, about certain situations in their life. We can give them advice. Well, here's another test about our own pride. If we give someone advice and they choose to heed the advice of another, or they even do their own thing, and we blow up because they didn't listen to us, chances are we are full of pride. Because pride says you do exactly what I say or you're crazy. You do exactly what I say or you're not worth my time. You do exactly what I say or you're going to pay. How many of us have that attitude? You do exactly what I say because what I say is the only way. So we have all these tests that tell us whether or not we're full of pride or not. But here's the truth. We really know it, don't we? If we're full of pride. I like this account. One time, two brothers went out of their mother and father's house, and one brother went off to college, and he became an attorney. We all like attorney stories, don't we? And he comes back, and he finds his other brother. His other brother didn't go to college, but his other brother became a farmer, and he is out working in the fields each and every day. And the attorney brother comes back, and he looks at the farmer brother, and he says. Brother, don't you wish you had my life? He says, I walk up and down Wall Street each and every day. He says, I have clients that are millionaires. I know people. And I've got money. I've got everything together. Don't you wish you had gone to college like I went to college? And don't you wish you had it all together like I've got it all together? He said, brother, you ought to be more like me. And the farmer brother just said, he says, I want you to notice something. He said, look out in that wheat field right there. The attorney brother looked out there. And the farmer brother says, you see that wheat that's standing tall and proud? The attorney brother said, well, of course I do. The farmer brother says, the reason it's standing so tall and proud is because inside the hole, there's nothing in there. It's empty. He said, but if you look down, there's other wheat and it's laying low to the ground. He says, it's because the seed, the head is full of seed and it's weighing it down. He said, brother, he says, the empty head stands tall and proud, but the head that is full is humble before God and all creation. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth. So many times we are so full of ourselves that our heads are empty. There's not room for anything else. We need to be full of God's word, God's wisdom, God's way. And that's the number one thing that will change us each and every day. I love old Charles Spurgeon. I know many of you love Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers, prince of preachers, a British preacher of times gone by. Charles Spurgeon was a supporter of Israel. He was a supporter of the Jewish people. And I always like that because to me that says he knows the word of God. But Charles Spurgeon says this is pretty a tough story even for a preacher to share. Charles Spurgeon says, one day he came out of the pulpit and he walked to the back of the tabernacle, and there was thousands of people, and a dear woman came up to him. She says, "Preacher, I just want you to know that's the best sermon you've ever preached." She said, that you just did a terrific, awesome job." Charles Spurgeon looked at her, and I think that he must have done it lovingly, but he looked at her and she said, "Yes, ma'am." He says, "That's exactly what Satan told me when I was walking out of the pulpit." Now, that's tough to hear, isn't it? But we as people love to be patted on the back. We as people love to be told that we're better than anybody else. We have a competitive spirit that we want to be better. It doesn't mean that we don't need to strive. It doesn't need to mean that we don't need to be better each and every day. But it does mean this. When we think we're better than somebody else, we're really not. We're just full of pride. May we be humble before the Lord. Planning is a very important thing, isn't it? But we can plan to the point that we forget God. The Bible tells us that worrying is a sin. So many times we're so worried about tomorrow, we're so worried about next month, and we're so worried about next year that we're not even thinking about the day. Do you remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they're walking day by day? Do you remember this? And God provides for them what? Manna from heaven. And God told them, remember not to take the manna and store it up because it will ruin. It will ruin. Amen? It'll ruin. He says, what you need for the day will be provided. Jesus taught something similar. Disciple says, "Jesus, we want to know how to pray." Jesus says, "Okay, here you go." And in the prayer, we call it the model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But in that prayer, Jesus says, "Give us today our daily bread." So there's a sense that we are learning to depend on God each and every day. Hezekiah, when he thought he had it all together and all summed up and the coffers were full of wealth, he thought he had it all made. That's the moment when his head was full of pride. And he says, "Lord," basically he says, "Lord, I can do life without you. Lord, I can rule this kingdom without you. Lord, I'm good enough now. I can make it on my own." I've got it made. And that's the moment when the Lord really spoke to him. It really brought down wrath. The Bible says he is sick and Hezekiah calls out and prays and God gives him a sign. But God brings forth judgment and wrath on Hezekiah and wrath on Jerusalem. But don't you love this? The Bible tells us that Hezekiah and the people humbled themselves. It means that they repented and they turned back to God again. Repentance comes from a humble heart. Gratitude comes from a humble heart. When's the last time that we just gave praise to God and gratitude towards God for even giving us a place to worship as we do? And that comes from a humble heart. When's the last time that we thank God for this 3.6 acres, is it? I don't know. Something like that, 8 acres. When was the last time we thanked God for this place that we have to worship? When's the last time that we thanked God for the material things, but also the spiritual things that God has bestowed upon us? The heart of repentance comes from a humble heart. The soul that often praises the Lord comes from a humble heart. The soul that often thanks God and is grateful to God comes from a humble heart before God that says, "God, we are desperate without you." People ask often, why do we not have revival? Why is it revival sweeping across our land? There's one sin that's keeping it out of the way, and it's called pride. By the way, it's the first sin ever committed, was it not? Not down here, but up there. Because old Satan, the evil one, thought he was better than God himself. His pride got him thrown out of heaven and cast down. The pride of Satan still goes on today. It's that original sin that inhibits God's people from doing what they need to do. When God got a hold of Hezekiah and got a hold of Jerusalem, they were able to serve him and do great things. When God gets a hold of us, we're able to serve him and do great things. But our pride often inhibits the Spirit from moving amongst us. Do you agree with that? Our pride often inhibits, mine and yours, it often inhibits the Spirit from moving amongst us. I love the hymn. It's one of my favorites, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Isaac Watts wrote it. And one of the verses say, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Isaac is saying this so poetically. When I think of Jesus, the King of Glory, and what he has done for me and all humanity on the cross of Calvary, when I think of how he humbled himself on the cross, everything that I've accomplished, everything that I've hoped to accomplish, it's nothing. Matter of fact, he says, "I pour contempt. I don't even like it. I don't even want to count anything in regards to my own self. I just want to count Christ and what he has done." Student, if you make an A on a test and you work really hard to make that A, and you studied and you prayed to the Lord to help you to make that A, it's still not you. God gave you the ability to study. God gave you the ability to make that A. Whatever it is that you're seeking to accomplish in this world, and if it doesn't fit into the kingdom of God, it's really not that important anyway, is it? But whatever it is you're seeking to accomplish, God is the one who has allowed it to be done and to be so. So may we give him honor. And may we give him glory, and may we give him praise. I'll end with this story. This is a great story. Someone once said, as they crossed a bridge, they said this: "Wow, didn't we really shake that bridge?" Who said it? The flea riding on top of the elephant. Well, we're the fleas in this old world, aren't we? And so many times we say, "Wow, didn't I accomplish this?" Or, "Wow, didn't I accomplish that?" Or, "Wow, didn't I do this? Wow, look at me." We're only a flea. In the kingdom of God Almighty, and nothing is shook. Nothing is achieved. Nothing happens. Nothing takes place unless God wills and allows it. So we, like the children of Israel, are desperate for him for our daily bread. Don't worry, don't fret about tomorrow. Just trust him today. Just seek him with all your heart today. Maybe you're here this morning.